Well, good morning. I'm from Minnesota, and I have to tell you, first of all, my name is Pastor Todd Stocker, and I am the campus chaplain up there at up north there at Concordia University, St. Paul. And I, one of my joys and my main jobs is to be able to work with college-age students who are just hungry and seeking knowledge and figuring out what life is about. And it's really awesome because they're like adults with a blank slate, so I can really mess them up. Yeah, and I'm the guy you send your kids to for college. but it is a joy to be here. Yesterday when I got on the plane, it was 13 degrees, and I had dressed for here. So I walked onto the plane with shorts and a t-shirt. That was a mistake because I had to wait for the shuttles. So, but I am so glad to be here because it is nice to say enough with winter, bring me to a place that's warm, and as an extra benefit, being able to worship and celebrate God's love with all y'all here in Vail. We visited Vail Christ Church or Christ Lutheran several times throughout the past, and it's nice to kind of reconnect with a couple of you and your faces, and so I'm just really honored to be here this morning. So let's begin with just a word of prayer, kind of set our hearts and minds on what God would have for us this morning. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the blessing and the joy and the awesome privilege it is to worship together, to come around your word, to see an example of a conversation, Lord, that just applies not only back then, but to our lives today. Just bless us. Let us hear what you want us to hear. And we know you're here. So thank you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Not that I would know, but your current series has been His Passion, your Passion. In the last several weeks, I'm assuming David has been preaching on what's this thing that called Jesus' Passion? What is Jesus passionate about? And there's a connection to the things that Jesus is focused on and passionate about. The connection is that they're some of the same things that we are in need of, but also that we are focused and passionate about. We've been talking about, or you've been talking about, Christ's humanity and how those passions are real human passions and focus and desire. Today we're going to talk about another one of those, and it's one that is very life-changing for you this morning. It's one that directly affects you and has affected each and every one of us here today. We're going to talk about such a crucial and pivotal passion of Jesus and how it plays out in your life. And because of this event, your life will be changed forever. You want to know what that is? It's the Final Four. No, it's not the Final Four. Especially after last night, right? Yeah. But this is it. I want to tell you right off, this is the whole message right here. The most important thing, the one thing I want you to walk away with from the message is this. God has a passion to meet you, to meet us where we are and offer us what we need. God has a passion to meet us where we are and offer us what we need. Just not just, as David talked about, not just the physical water that he mentioned, but the spiritual things that we need, the relational things that we need, the emotional things that we may need. It reminds me, as we get into the point, of many, many years and many, many pounds ago, I ran the Rock and Roll Marathon in Phoenix. Anybody ever run a marathon? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Gluttons for punishment. But the Rock and Roll Marathon, it was kind of on a dare and a bet that I lost, that I had to run this thing. And so I was preparing, never had run a marathon before. And I was getting all kinds of advice from different people. And I went out and I almost bought one of those belts. You know that if you've seen these runners, they have these belts and they have like 18,000 water bottles around and and I almost bought one. I thought, no, I'm just going to hold off. And I ended up not buying one. And we get to the race and I'm kind of worried because I didn't feel prepared at all. And running in sandals isn't a good thing in a marathon. No, I didn't do that. I wasn't that dumb. But I didn't feel prepared. And so we start the race off, and I'm kind of going along, and I get kind of, I'm starting to feel the stress of the marathon. It was about 20 feet into it, and no, not that bad. But it was along the way. I was starting to feel the stress, and I come around the corner, and there, right on the corner, on both sides, what do you think is there? Oh, praise the Lord. It was water tables, right? And then not only water tables, but they had oranges there, apples, and then they had this like gel junk stuff that you kind of do this. It's like espresso in a gel. It's really crazy. But so I grabbed water, and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I keep running, and I was taken care of for a little while. Then I started to get, when I felt like, oh, another one of those tables would be great, turn the corner, guess what was there? A McDonald's. No, another couple of tables with that water on it. And all throughout the race, they had strategically placed these tables with water and what you need, what I needed for the race, right at the times that I need it, all along the race, all along the way. And when we say that God has a passion to meet us where we are and offer us what we need, that's a little bit like those tables. The organizers of the race knew exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it, and they offered it to me then. God knows exactly what you need today. He knows exactly how and when to offer it to you today. But see, for me, the tension is, and maybe you're like this, when life gets tough, my natural tendency anyway is to kind of put blinders on and not see God's hand at work in my life, not see those tables of water along the route. The tension for me is when life gets tough, I want to kind of close in, be by myself, hide away, if you will. And emotionally, I even shut people out around me. Spiritually, I sometimes slip into the thinking, well, I must have made God mad somehow, because my life is in the dumpster right now. Things are tough right now. And if we're not careful, sometimes we look at the timeline of our life, and you can look back over spots in your life and say, man, life was really great right here. God must have really loved me. This time wasn't so great. God must have not loved me. That's sometimes how we think as Christians. And maybe you're like that. Maybe for you, life right now is great, but you're sort of haunted by a past that is marked with broken promises, shattered relationships, dreams gone out the window. Maybe there's a relationship right now that you're thinking about that either a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, that you're like, man, I really blew it. I shouldn't have done this. Shouldn't have said that. And you're thinking, man, you're thinking of that Southwest commercial, want to get away? Yes, I do. But our gospel lesson for today gives us an example of someone who was even just past wanting to get away. She removed herself really from society. This we kind of have to read into the text knowing the culture of that time, which we'll talk about. So if you want to take a look at the gospel lesson, it's on page 5. We're going to just take a couple of look-see at a couple of these verses. Page 5 on the inside, John 4, verses 5 to 26. Now, just as a recap, Jesus and the disciples were traveling north back into Galilee, and it's a three-day trip from where they were down south up into the Galilee area, and it's a long walk, and they get tired on the way. It's hot. It's in an area that is kind of arid. It's a transitional area. And so they stop at this place called Jacob's Well. The well is about 100 feet deep. Out there, I was blessed to be able to be there a couple of weeks ago in Israel. Just as a sideline, you know all the bombing that happened? Yeah, that was like right where we were catching the bus. So, in fact, the bus, why am I talking about this? The bus that we saw in all the news reports, bus number 74, that's the bus that we took from where we were staying to that bus station. So, just be in prayer for that region over there. Well, for a whole world, it's crazy. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, okay, Jacob's well. So it's 100 feet deep to get to water down in that area. And Jesus has stopped, the group has stopped. The disciples run off to Safeway to get some food. Jesus is hanging out there just saying, I'll stay here. And this lady strolls along. And he has this conversation with this woman that is so, just the conversation itself is so out of the ordinary. Because Jesus, as a rabbi, was not supposed to be talking to, first of all, a Samaritan. Second of all, a woman. It's like me as a Minnesota Viking stopping and talking to a Green Bay Packer fan. It would never happen. Sorry. Unless you're in Vail with the nice people of Christ Lutheran. Yes. But those kind of conversations just didn't happen. So Jesus has this conversation. If you take a look at the text, verse 7, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me something to drink? The woman kind of freaks out on him and says, you shouldn't be talking to me. You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We do not talk to each other. And the point is, right off the bat, Jesus is meeting this woman where she was, breaking all the societal boundaries and rules and guidelines that were in force in the day. And so he just says, forget it. You are a person that I care for, that I love. Even though we just met, I'm breaking rules. I'm meeting you where you're at. Then the second part of the conversation where he addresses the spiritual needs of this whole water thing. And Pastor David said in the children's message, it's not just the physical water, but Jesus talks about this spiritual water that he offers the woman. Jesus says in verse 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never be thirsty. Woman, you need this water. Third part of the conversation, Jesus gets personal. Tells her that, you know, you're right, you don't have one husband, you've had five others, the person you're with now isn't even your husband. So in this society, this woman, actually it's surprising that she's even still alive. To be divorced that many times, to be estranged that many times, would or could call for stoning in that society at that time. Then he has the conversation about worship, and she says, well, we worship here, you guys worship over here, and Jesus brings it together and says, you know what, there's going to be a time where it doesn't matter where you're worshiping, it matters who you're worshiping, and he fulfills another spiritual need right there, and she gets so excited because she realizes this guy could be the Christ, this guy could be the Savior that we've looked forward to. The Savior of the world. And at one point later on, it's not in our gospel today, but later on in the text, he kind of looks at her and goes, hey, I'm the guy. I'm that guy. I'm the Messiah. The encounter with Jesus for this woman had such a profound effect on her that, if you know the story, she was so excited that she met this guy and realized that this could be the Savior, that she left her water jar at Jacob's well. That's like us meeting somebody in the parking lot at Safeway and having this conversation, and we just leave our groceries and our car and run home to tell all our family. It's kind of the same thing, because the water jar, that was the means by which, you know, water was such a premium in that area, that arid area. So here's the point. Jesus met this woman where she was, loved her enough to enter into a conversation with her about real life, and offered her one of the most powerful things, powerful motivators that both you and I crave if we don't realize it or not, and that's hope. That's hope that the relationships that are broken will be fixed. It's hope that our 401k is going to last our lifetime. It's hope that I'll be provided for. It's hope that I'll be able to survive high school and figure out the transition on into college. But ultimately, it's hope that We have heaven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. God has a passion to meet you where you are, and he offers you what you need. And that's hope. You see, this is a season of Lent, and that's why it's so important, because it gives us time to realize that we are sinful and to see that God's passion for us leads to cross the boundaries and offer us a celebration of eternal life with him. God offers us hope today, my friends. In your emptiness, in your anger, maybe in your shame, Jesus meets you. So that we can echo the words of that old hymn, no guilt in life, no fear in what? No fear in death. No guilt in this life, no fear in death. I want to close with just a brief story of our family's story. Many of you know our family. I have three kids, one dog, one wife, and youngest daughter, eighth grade, Maddie, loves volleyball. My son, who's 16, loves music. My oldest daughter was a professional ballerina, and she actually danced here, I believe, for one of the services. You remember? Yeah, okay. A couple of years ago, my oldest daughter, Mackenzie, was on a photo shoot with the ballet company, and on the way home from the photo shoot, the car she was driving in ran a red light, and an F-250 T-boned them at 63 miles an hour, and Mackenzie was killed instantly. And I know that because of our connection as family, that you've heard, maybe have heard that story or not, but I want to tell you this. From a personal standpoint, all accounts are is that I could have just turned my back on God. How could you let this happen? God, how could, here is this wonderful woman who loves you, who is on her way to college. How can you let this happen? But what God did was he met our family right face to face. I mean, not in a vision thing. But he met us through other people, through prayer, through everything, through the Spirit, and he gave us hope. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It does not say rejoice in the situation always. It says rejoice in the Lord, because the situation of me losing my oldest daughter, whom I loved dearly, who was the joy of our family, there's nothing joyful about that. Why should I rejoice in that? But God came to us and encouraged us, strengthened us as a family, and offered us that hope. Now, I don't know where you are. I don't know. I know a couple of you. I don't know where you are spiritually. You may be here. You may not even be a Christian here. You may be here because your family's making you come to church. You're kind of figuring out the God stuff, Jesus stuff. It's just something sort of what we do. But I have to tell you this. God is a God who loves us in a way that is unmistakably out of this world. God is a God who knows what it means to lose a child and who knows what it means to suffer and who knows what it means to offer hope to you. And so just in a moment, I want to close in prayer. And I want you to take just a brief moment to think about that which you need today. It may be physical stuff, maybe relational stuff, maybe ultimately spiritual stuff. But remember, if it's according to God's will, which is always good for us, then he offers that to you and can give that to you. So let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the other readings for today, you tell us, Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. In the Revelation verse, God, you said, I will give you water without cost from the spring of life, and that you yourself, with your own hand, will wipe away our tears. And Lord, right now, that's what I need. I need you to wipe away the tear of hurt, the tear of regret, and replace that, God, with an abundance of joy and fullness that you offer in your Son, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the story of the woman at the well, because we see, Lord, that you have spanned heaven and earth to come and send your Son, Jesus, to die for me and offer me eternal life. And so wherever we are today, it may be a good place, it may be a struggling place, help us, Lord, not to open our eyes to see that you are there with us and that you offer us strength and hope. It's by the power of your Holy Spirit that we pray this, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray this. And all God's people said, amen.